Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two on a Monday. These shows are so easy now. It's like a layup drill for Joy and I. This is The Herd in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio and right here, FS1. It was so fun yesterday. I did Sunday NFL kickoff. It's the show I do in the Sundays. And we've been doing it, same crowd, Carissa, Michael, Tony, Schrager, Dave Wonstadt. We have an incredible production crew. It was just so fun to be back. Now, it was different. There's, we're all distance, and the set is like an aircraft carrier. I mean, we're miles from each other. But it felt so good to see Jimmy and Howie and Terry and Tony and all and Carissa and all the crew. It was like, oh, my God, this is great. For the first time, it just felt, in 6 months, football felt a little normalcy in my life. We always tried to say we're getting back to normal, but there's just, America's not the same today. Even today when I drove to work, the traffic was bad. It was like, oh, finally, I got good traffic. I mean,
I miss traffic so much. I remember really early on, maybe like 2 weeks into the shutdown, I was just walking around and it was empty. It was like that scene in Vanilla Sky. Like there's no people in Los Angeles. That is a very hallowing thing to see. And yeah. I was like, man, I miss traffic. Every time everyone was like, oh, this traffic thing is no great. I'm like, no, please. I can't wait until I'd love to sit in traffic right now. Because yeah. That means things are starting to get back to normal. It's a new normal.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the fans, maybe it's because we've been watching so much NBA without fans.
Didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me, yeah.
No, I'm saying thing. I thought it was going to be a real issue. It doesn't bother me. Now, I think
for the
football,
players, it probably is.
Yes, but the Cowboys game last night, SoFi looked great. The crowd, they juiced the crowd up. Some of those crowd fake operators are a little better than others. But by and large, I thought it was pretty good. So we do this every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong. During the football season, it's just my favorite segment of the week. Here we go on a Monday.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, Pete Carroll gave the offense to Russell Wilson. And did you see what happened? It was unbelievable. Tip of the cap, Pete Carroll, finally, first quarter, 9 for 9, 86 yards and 2 TDs. This has been my knock on Pete. Let Russ cook. Give him the offense. And they finally did, 9 straight Seahawk receivers. And you know what it felt like? It was sensational. But when you go on the road and you're aggressive, there's something about the spirit and the vibe of Seattle. They went on the road to win the game. First series, they came out hyper-aggressive, more aggressive than Atlanta. They finally gave the offense to Russell Wilson, 31-35. He was sensational.
Where Colin was wrong.
Blazing 5-2-3. We had the Rams right over Dallas. That was our pick of the week, and we also thought the Ravens would blow out the Browns, but I'll never bet Atlanta again. They break my heart. I don't even know why. At this point, I'm stupid. I'm tired. I'm over it. I am so disciplined in my life, my diet, my exercise. I cannot stop betting Atlanta.
I knew I had something to yell at you about this morning.
Why do I do it?
I saw you on Instagram. What are you doing?
I have no idea.
I won't allow you to do it again.
Nope.
I will be the gatekeeper of that. I take on that responsibility.
God, it's ridiculous. All right.
Where Colin was right.
The Bengals are Joe Burrow's biggest obstacle. This is why I worry about him. They lose a game, even though I thought late they outplayed the Chargers, getting offensive pass interference in the end zone, dropped a couple of key passes, then the kicker pulls a hammy trying to kick a potential game-winning field goal. The offensive line, in fairness, they need another draft to sew up the offensive line, but Joe Burrow is excellent. This is why I said he's going to win very few games this year. It's not just on Joe Burrow. Young quarterbacks need stronger support systems, especially when you ask them to start game one in a brutally talented division. That is exactly what I thought I would see. Burrow played fairly well, and his organization just did what they do.
Where Colin was wrong.
Adam Gase and the Jets were the worst-looking team. I don't care if you lose. You can't look disorganized. The Jets' first half was embarrassing. Does he get along with anybody? Does he have any allies? Does he communicate with anybody? Sam Darnold wasn't good either, but Darnold's got a new offensive line. This is a mess. This is just a hot mess. They had 9 penalties, two or three of them were at the inexact times. Nobody's getting better. That's what I worry about. Tell me the young players for the Jets that are getting better. Because I think I see in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, young players getting better. That is coaching. It's not just drafting guys and drawing up plays. That's not what they do in New England. They develop players. I'm not an overreactor on coaches being fired, but I'm not. I don't. If you see that three or four more weeks, Gase doesn't get past Thanksgiving.
Where Colin was right.
I fell in love with Kyler Murray, second game in Arizona. This kid is just a handful. I contend he throws the prettiest ball in the league. Secondly, like Andrew Luck, they've just given him the playbook. They're not protecting him one. Jared Goff is still being protected. Garoppolo's being protected. This kid threw 40 times against that defensive front. This is Andrew Luck. Kid, here's the playbook. Go make stuff happen. I thought he was fantastic. DeAndre Hopkins had 14 catches, 150 yards. His best game as a pro. And this is their first game together. This kid is special. Coaches tell you what they think of their quarterback. Kirk Cousins threw five balls in the first half. They have unloaded the playbook on this kid. To have a guy, he also ran for 90 yards. I know you guys don't watch Arizona games. Watch him. This kid is a potential superstar.
Where Colin was wrong.
Cam and Belichick never felt right to me. I didn't get it. It's weird. Rigidity and personality don't mix. I thought it was really efficient yesterday. Now, it was Miami, but I thought that's how you do it. You know, Tom Brady used short passes. That's how he controlled the clock. And then you let the defense win. Cam just ran the ball. And it was really efficient and really effective. I just always thought this thing is weird. The biggest personality in the league and the organization that's almost anti-personality, but it works. Belichick complimented him yesterday. And you know what? I thought Cam was accurate. I thought he made really good decisions. They played to his strengths. It surprised me. I thought Miami had a shot to win this game. And from the first series on, you're like, nope, Cam's got it under control.
Where Colin was right.
We said the teams with new head coaches and quarterbacks, we said 8 of 9 are going to lose. Well, they're 2-6, and they'll be 2-7 because the Steelers will beat the Giants tonight. Now, Washington pulled off a stunner. But by and large, we said there with no preseason, the bad's going to still be really bad. And if you have new coaches and you have new quarterback, this is almost too easy. You are going to struggle. Belichick won. Yeah, I should have known better on that. Yeah.
Where Colin was wrong.
Gardner Minshew, dude can play. He can play. You know what he is? He's Baker Mayfield without the mistakes. They look like each other. They play like each other. They got about the same arm strength. The kid is accurate. He's got a bad offensive line in Jacksonville. They have a rookie undrafted wide receiver. He throws an accurate football. He plays with a ton of confidence. You know, in 2020, the NFL, quarterbacks look different. Some are tall, some are small. Some run, some are pocket. I got to come to terms with it. There is no prototype anymore. Gardner Minshew wears a bandana and denim jeans, and it looks like it used to be in a Paul Newman movie. And you know what, man? The dude can play. He can play. And he got nothing around him. But confidence is really big in this league for quarterbacks, and he looked big in big spots. I was really impressed by him.
Where Colin was right.
Houston Rockets. I didn't buy in small ball. I don't buy in James Harden as a championship player. Westbrook and Harden had their moments, but I didn't buy into it. They quit. Listen, I've said with Harden, he's a scorer. There's nothing wrong with that. I would vote him in first ballot. He may be the best scorer in the league, but a leader, an MVP, elevates franchises. He's a scorer. But how many times do I have to watch Harden or one of his teams quit in the postseason? It's not that they lost. They had no spirit. They didn't want to play in the bubble anymore. They wanted out. They just didn't. The coach wants out. The team wanted out. A lot of why you're seeing the Lakers play so well is the leadership of LeBron James. He's like, fellas, 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks. This is where leadership is crucial. That's why Philadelphia unraveled. It's why Miami with Spoelstra's been great. It's why LeBron's playing well. Leadership, not talent, is now the key in this bubble, because we're talking about 2 months. People have been away from their families. And Houston looked to Harden for leadership, and it's just not who he is.
Where Colin was right.
I don't get Matt Patricia in Detroit. If I had to listen to another guy tell me, keep your eye on the Lions this year. Yeah, I'm watching what I can tolerate. They're 9-23-1 with Matt Patricia. They let go of their best player, Darius Slay. I don't want to hear a guy dropped a ball in the end zone. Mitch Trubisky looked like the early leader for the MVP. Late fourth quarter Mitch was unbelievable. You either rise to the occasion in crucial moments or you lose. And this team figures out ways to lose. They're now 1-15-1 in fourth quarter opportunities to win, meaning they're trailing. They trail by a score. They have the ball. They have a possession. They're 1-15-1. I don't get Matt Patricia. I don't buy the team buys into him. I don't think he has a great eye for personnel. Matt Stafford's talented, but a lot of guys are talented in this league now. There's a Matt Stafford every Sunday. Everybody's talented at quarterback, it feels like, in the NFL. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, good stuff. Trent Dilfer's around the corner. Jimmy Johnson, 1 hour from now. One of the great football coaches of all time. So we got a Sunday. What sticks, what doesn't, what matters, what doesn't. Trent Dilfer will go through all of it coming up next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight on FS1, it's a battle in the AL West as Matt Olson and the A's take on the Mariners. The action begins at 8 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
All sorts of stuff. What a great weekend.
Amazing.
Loved it so much. I mean, you and I watched the NBA, but it's like I didn't see the Clippers. Like now, I'm just NFL. Like my brain just went whoop
to
football.
Well, I just didn't have enough eyeballs. I had the four games up plus Red Zone on my computer plus my phone falling on Twitter. And then I had to like double screen on my computer so I could pull up another tab to watch the fourth quarter of the Clippers game. I'm like, I can't. This is like a lesson in focusing right now.
Trent Dilfer played in the NFL for a decade and a half, got a Pro Bowl and a Super Bowl. He's one of my buddies, now coaches football, high school football in Tennessee at Lipscomb Academy. Made the playoffs in his first year, and he's joining me now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So, okay, I'm going to sound like a dummy here, but I'm going to lay it out, and you give me the answer. So when I watch the Rams, they have four or five sets, but they run a lot off it, and they give you a lot of looks and a lot of misdirection. And let's just say that we agree that both teams have nice weapons. Both teams have very nice weapons. But when I watched the Cowboys last night, it doesn't feel what you would say is multiple. I kind of feel like it's a little generic at times, which feels like it puts more on the quarterback to be special. And I don't particularly think Dak is like, you know, upper tier special. When I watched, I just thought, this is what I've grown accustomed to when I watch Dallas in big spots. They're good. They're competent. But this is what I see, and are they multiple enough? Are they creative and versatile enough as a coach? What do you see?
I don't disagree. No, I think that's a really good observation. I was talking to our friend Ryan Russillo earlier this morning about Dak, and I was talking about how he does everything well. So the danger when your quarterback does everything well is to call system plays and forget that there's things he does best and call quarterback plays. And I think what I saw last night is, you know, Dak is great at action. Dak is a threat as a runner. Dak is great with misdirection when there's more of the Saturday flair with jet motions, misdirections, movements, creative screens. And there wasn't a lot of that. There was a lot of just traditional drop back pass, which he's good at. I'm not knocking him, but he's not great at it yet. I think one thing you see in the Rams and the when you're watching the two differences between the two offenses, the Rams are super creative with screens, movement, changing the launch point. Very rarely do they just catch, drop back, and throw. They do what Jared does best as much as possible. And I think as these coaching staffs, and Mike McCarthy's new to the Cowboys, he's got to learn what Dak does best and maybe insert his voice into that and say, listen, yeah, Dak does this well, and we can drop back and throw the ball on third down, and there's times we're going to drop back and throw it. But what he does best is this, so let's make sure we're emphasizing the stuff he does best. And again, the movement, the action, the creativity, that Saturday offense, and using him as a runner. I think it's foolish when you don't use these quarterbacks as runners because it puts such pressure on the defenses to give you defined looks.
You know, I thought Tom was better than all of the narratives this morning. I thought he threw the ball very well deep. He had a miscommunication error, But I said, God, when the schedule came out 3 months ago, we all put this down as an L. I mean, no preseason, no OTAs. I thought Tommy looked pretty good. I just think they're going to look different against Carolina's defense. They're going to look different in October. I mean, I don't see any panic, right?
No panic. But listen, even with preseason, I always thought the first four games of the regular seasons were a glorified preseason because the limited OTAs, the limited opportunities they have in the offseason now. Now you put COVID on top of that. They had no spring ball. They had no summer ball. Now no training camp. And you're talking about Tom Brady, who is a, you know, brain surgeon quarterback, meeting Bruce Arians, who has a different philosophy. It's going to take time for these two to gel. It's going to take time for the skill position guys to catch up to Tom and to think the same thoughts as him. It's going to take time for the offensive line to learn how Tom communicates the line of scrimmage, to pick up exotics on different blitzes. This might be tough sledding here for 3 to 5 weeks, but I do think that give them, if they can just stay alive in it, if they can be a 500 football team till the halfway mark, then I think you're really going to see Tom Brady's fingerprint on this offense. And you're going to see a little gasoline poured on it the back stretch of the season.
You know, it's interesting. I always wonder how it plays. You can fool me. You can't fool players. And yesterday, like, Arizona's like, Kyler, go, 40 throws. Kirk Cousins, 5 throws at half. Like, I was saying this about Minnesota. I'm done hearing about, you know, they'll have a 4 or 5 game winning streak. Mike Zimmer's a good coach. But there's such a message to me when I watch Kyler Murray that's so encouraging if I was a teammate. Kid, go for it. And then I watch Kirk Cousins, and the messaging to teammates is, we're protecting him. Like, I just can't get past that with Minnesota. I can't get past it with you tell me, what is the messaging in a locker room when you're protecting a quarterback, not arming him, not encouraging him?
Yeah, I think with Kirk in particular, it's a delicate balance. Zimmer being a take of the air out of the ball guy, a defensive centric guy, he's not ever going to want to be a high volume thrower. The problem is that Kirk Cousins plays his best as a high volume thrower.
Yeah.
So they have to find that delicate balance. I think they just need to seek balance. It doesn't have to be run first. Doesn't have to be pass first. It's, hey, at the end of the game, if we're going to have 65 plays, let's have 33 passes and 32 runs, or 33 runs and 32 passes. If they seek balance, you're going to get the most out of Kirk Cousins. He's another guy. He is fantastic as an action passer. You put his back to the line of scrimmage, put the ball in the belly. He cut the field in half. He's a dynamic second-level thrower. He's a guy that's going to get you a lot of big plays. They have good skill position guys. That is set up off running the football. So if you're kind of a mid-90s football team, with the Minnesota Vikings, you're going to be a successful football team where you're a lot of dot back runs, a lot of opportunities to let your offensive line go forward, and then let Kirk take advantage of those opportunities and push the ball down the field. But when you sequester a guy and only let him throw 5 times in the first half, that's a volume thrower. You're not going to get the most out of him come the second half. It's not like you can just turn the key and say, okay, Kirk, now go throw it 30 times in the second half because we're behind and be you. These guys need rhythm. Troy Aikman was a great example of this. Troy Aikman was a guy that would always need to throw the ball in the first half more than run it. And they had Emmitt Smith. And if you notice a lot of Troy's Super Bowl years, they would throw it 16 to 20 times in the first half, get a lead, and then take the air out of the ball in the second half. Troy wasn't as great. He was always great, but he wasn't as great if it was 6 passes in the first half and now go throw it 25 in the second. He was a guy that had to get going, had to be a legend in his own mind, feel like he was running the show. And in the second half with the 10-point lead, hey, give it to Emmitt, let him roll.
Yeah. By the way, Joe Burrow's debut, what'd you make of it? Good, bad, ugly, what'd you make?
I liked his presence. What I love about Joe Burrow is his presence. He doesn't flinch. Nothing's going to rattle him. He made enough plays where you saw kind of his splash value, you know, the draw play. You saw his athleticism. Made some really nice throws. Thought he made a great throw on the touchdown. Was called back. It was a good call, but that was a great throw to the pylon, high and away to A.J. Green. But his poise, his presence, his toughness, those are the things that are going to allow him to play for 10, 15 years. There's a lot of talented guys. Joe's not more overly talented than the next guy. But he does have that intangible makeup that can make him special, and that's what showed yesterday.
You know, I'm too critical of Baker Mayfield, but fourth coach, same mistakes, his accuracy.
No, you're not.
I don't see it. I don't get it. You keep giving him weapons, and I get the same guy, right? Like, what am I missing on him? I just think he's a limited player. That's what I see.
I mean, I feel like I said this, I think week one last year. I said it week six last year, and week nine last year, and week 13 last year. Dan Orlowski said this morning on Get Up on ESPN, everybody's starting to realize it. He has an identity crisis as a quarterback. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what his DNA is. He tries to play the game like Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray when he needs to play it like Drew Brees. Gardner Minshew is a better quarterback because he plays the position the way he knows he has to play it. Baker has to play it the same way. He'll still make a splash play here or there. He is a good enough athlete to extend plays every once in a while, but he's got to trust his feet. His feet and his eyes have to be talking to each other. This is a craft position. This is not a wingman in the NBA where you dribble, drive, dunk. Okay, this is a craftsmanship position. He plays with no craft. As soon as he learns to be a craftsman, he'll be a very, very good NFL quarterback. But he hasn't figured it out yet, and his coaches haven't figured it out, because if they had, they should be drilling this into him every single second of every single day. You can't be bouncing back there. You can't be trying to be an athlete all the time. Play the position the way it was designed to be played. Play it as a craftsman, or you're not going to be successful.
By the way, Lamar Jackson yesterday, and I said this, is the difference between winning playoff games and a Super Bowl is, can you play from behind? The difference between being great and a legend is, can you play from behind? Russell Wilson, Mahomes have shown that. They trail. They look like the same guy. So that, to me, now yesterday it's hard to, you know, they were leading. I think Lamar plays very well downhill. But I got to tell you, when I watched him yesterday, he looked better than even last year. Like, all I know is that kid works in the off season, Trent, because, you know, there's a lot of critics of him. I'm done with that. Like, he looked better yesterday than the end of last year, right?
Yeah, in a very short amount of time, Lamar's now put himself in that category where really the only time we'll criticize him is if he doesn't win a Super Bowl. I mean, he's in rare air. It's going to come down to the AFC Championship game. It's going to come down to the Super Bowl. Like, that's how we're going to judge Lamar Jackson. He's going to light the league on fire. It's going to be him and Mahomes and Aaron and Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray lighting up every single week, being called, you know, being on these lists of the best in the NFL. But really, he's already put himself in that brutal position of, you're going to be defined by championships. He's got a 12-year NFL head coach, one of the best in the business. They've built an incredible developmental program where they're just churning out guys. You haven't heard their names, and they become stars. They've done great in the draft. Their players fit. Like, talk about system fit guys. Like, everybody just kind of fits what they do. They're dialed in to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Now, really, it comes down to, can you go win the big one? Can you carry your team on your shoulders come February and win the big boy?
I liked Russell Wilson early. I think he is surpassed, because yesterday it felt like Pete finally said, all right, we're just going to throw the ball early. I'm going to kind of let Russ cook. I'm going to let him go. I think Russell Wilson is better than I thought he would be.
He's incredible. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Again, if we're doing lists, he's in the top four. He makes the incredibly difficult look so routine and so easy. His command, his presence, his juice, his critical moment plays. I can just go on and on and on. You can do all the analytics, and he checks every box there. But there's just something. There's a couple of guys that just have kind of magic to him, and he's just got that magic feel to him. Like, you never feel as if there's a play he can't make. They've surrounded him with really complimentary pieces. I think you're going to see, this could be a Seattle Seahawks offense that is unlike any Pete Carroll's ever coached.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they're going to be air raid Seattle Seahawks, but if there's games they need to throw it 45 times, I think you're going to see Russell Wilson thrive in those moments as much as he thrives in the game where he only throws it 18. But, you know, 16 of those are down the field. So he really can do it all. I think the easiest way to explain Russell Wilson is that he does super superhuman type things and makes them look really easy.
Finally, we know that Shanahan and Garoppolo have trust issues. You can see it with some of the play calling. We know Andy Reid and Mahomes don't. And, you know, you can kind of tell Zimmer and Kirk Cousins, there's a protection thing going on. But I was talking to a friend last night. I want to circle back to the Rams-Cowboys. And we were talking about McVay and we were talking about Jared Goff. And I said, I still feel like McVay's just kind of got the bumper cars on with Jared Goff. And my friend argued, he's like, no, I mean, he gets into these shootouts. Do you think McVay trusts Goff?
I think he trusts them with 75% of what they're trying to do. And that's a big number. They want to be a run action screen team. They don't want to be a drop back pass team. Jared is very, very good at those elements. Where they got into trouble last year is when they became a 5-6 man protection drop back team. People say offensive line, but a lot of that's the quarterback management. The quarterback has to know how to manage those games. I don't think that's there yet, but I don't think it should be either. I don't think Tom Brady, Belichick trusted Tom Brady with the true drop back game probably 5-6 years into his career. It is a much harder way of playing football. You have protections you have to manage. You get way more complex schemes in the back end. Pass rushers, you know, kind of get after a little bit more in those situations. It's a harder way to play. I think most good play callers right now in the NFL are leaning more on the run action, screen movement stuff on early downs and minimizing how much true drop back, no bells and whistles that goes with it football you play. Jared, like many young quarterbacks, needs to grow in the drop back game, but he is very, very good in the action game.
Trent Dilfer, great seeing you. He's got the Viking beard going on right there. He looks very manly, very alpha. Am I not a little more scruffy? It's great seeing you, buddy.
Awesome, buddy. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, I do think what we're seeing, and as Trent talks about that, I think the quarterback play now is giving us so many different looks. Gardner Minshew and is different than – Gardner looks a little like Baker. Josh Allen's a little like early Big Ben. Kyler's a little like Russell Wilson. But, I mean, it just – it wasn't this way even 15 years ago. You kind of knew what a quarterback was, right? Well, is he tall? Can he – I think football's so much better to watch now. There's so many different ways to run your offense. That, you know, a lot of the country, because Brady – got a lot of the eyeballs yesterday in the afternoon. Not a lot of the country saw Garoppolo against Kyler Murray. It was interesting because I'm not, you know, Shanahan and Garoppolo, they're sleeping in separate bedrooms right now. Like that relationship is, there's a little tension. Kyler and Cliff, they're having so much fun. You can just, Arizona's just like, here's the playbook, take it over. Shanahan Garoppolo's going to be, it's like a way more functional Gase Darnold. You can sense there's a little tension there, but you can see Shanahan. Didn't Shanahan after the game was critical of Garoppolo? Like, it's just not right yet. Just not quite there yet. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Cam Newton looked good in his Patriots debut.
Certainly did.
230 total yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. He did get into a little bit of a confrontation with the Dolphins players.
Well, I don't understand. What was that? They grabbed his necklace?
So he was playing with a chain on.
He was. He was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so following the 21-11 win, he spoke about how some Dolphins players tried to take the chain off of his neck.
They was reaching for my chain. And I think that kind of got up under my skin. But yeah, through it all, man, listen, I don't want nothing to be taken away from a great team game that we did have. You know, I was just teasing with coaches, letting them know like, that College Park almost came out me. So, you know, yeah, through it all, man, it was just all funny games.
By the way.
So after the game, I saw him being like very emotional. I was like, I don't know if somebody said something to him. I didn't see this little mix up. Until later on social media. So I didn't know what happened that had gotten Cam so emotional and like upset. But listen, you have to do something. Like if someone grabs you like that, you've got to react. Because like, this is football.
No, I don't.
You're not just going to walk away from a situation
that. I don't blame Cam at all. No. If you watch this video right here. It's not here. What? Not
yeah,
here.
It's a little shove
it's
there.
It's this one
it's right here.
Yeah. No. The next one.
Yes. Yeah, when he grabs his chain.
Okay, that's violent. If you're grabbing me and pulling me to you, you have a right to defend yourself.
Well, he also broke his chain. So then you got to do something at that point.
I mean, don't a lot of guys, baseball players do it? Like, some guys just like their stuff.
Guys play with the jewelry all the time. This is not, like, yeah. I know people were like, oh, why is he playing with the chain on? Like, first of all, this is after the game.
I think baseball guys
do. So he lasted the entire game. Baseball players would play with chains all the time. But so do football. Like, nose rings, earrings, all kinds of stuff. But the one thing that I took away from that whole situation and really the whole game yesterday is that the Patriots are really letting Cam be Cam.
Yes, they are.
Like, Cam is the exact same guy that he was in Carolina. The hats, the fashion, the chain, the excitement on the field, the celebrations, and also his style of play. Like, the Patriots have changed the way that they play offense to cater to Cam, and I think that's a testament to Bill Belichick. Great coaches are not rigid at the ends. Like, they find ways to adapt to the way the game's played and the players that they have.
I think they're more rigid than they should be. I would argue that Belichick is not doing what a lot of coaches do, because a lot of legends, I can go to college and pro, a lot of legends, this is my, like, Popovich.
No, that's what I mean. He's adapting.
You know, Belichick's like, you know, I also think it sends I think two people are sending messages here. Cam is sending a message that, oh, you don't think I can be in a system with a great coach?
Right.
And Belichick's like, you can have a personality here. It's okay. I think they both need each other, and the messaging for both, they both need the message. Cam's got to be like, Cam, can you be coached? Oh, you can. And Belichick, could you lighten up? Oh, you can. When people need each other, it generally works.
It's absolutely working. I mean, you saw how he mentioned, I talked to coach and said, you know, that College Park almost came out of me. Like, that's not, you would expect Bill Belichick to be angry that happened, but it's totally working. Look, I don't want to be overreact to week one. It was my Dolphins. Let's not get crazy, but you can't be anything but happy with everything
Fitzpatrick,
that you saw.
It was a very classic Fitzpatrick meltdown.
I Tua might get out there earlier than you thought. So Joe Burrow also had a strong NFL debut for the Bengals, 239 total yards and a rushing touchdown. But he was most impressive on the final drive of the game, 3 minutes remaining, no timeouts. Led the Bengals down the field to set up a field goal that would have tied the game and sent it to overtime. But kicker Randy Bullock cramped up during the attempt.
Brutal.
And it was brutal. Yeah,
that's how the Chargers lose.
It is. It was a very Chargers-like win and very Bengals-like loss. You get there to the end. I can't ask for more from your rookie quarterback in his debut. No OTAs, no preseason. I mean, that's the drive. That's what you want to see, that he has that in him. Chargers are not a bad team.
No, God, no. The defensive front. The Chargers.
I didn't like what I saw from their offense yesterday.
No, you know what? Tua and Justin Herbert. You know, somebody else said this yesterday. It's a good point. Tua and Justin Herbert were multiple-year starters in big TV games. They're not undrafted guys that played at, like, Panera Bread State. It may be just time here in a couple weeks. Let Tua go. Let Herbert go. Burrow showed, and Burrow's got less talent around him than I think Tua and Herbert would. If the Chargers offense doesn't have more life, it's just Justin Herbert was a starter for 3 years, played in Rose Bowls, played against Auburn. He's been on national TV. He's not going to get nervous. The game's not too fast for him.
Yeah, I think a couple more weeks like that for the Dolphins and Chargers. And
you got to go.
You have to do it. And again, don't overreact to week one, but that was it was not great from either of those offenses. Not that you should expect much from the Dolphins offense at this point, but
that was bad.
You can't do that. Finally, the Rockets season ended yesterday when the Lakers Saturday when the Lakers ousted them in the Western Conference semifinals.
Yeah.
And head coach Mike D'Antoni informed the organization he will not be returning to the team next season.
I love a coach finally telling a team, I'm over you. I love a coach finally doing that.
Well, this was sort of mutual. I mean, this was he was coaching on his final year.
Maybe they allowed him to do that so he could get another job.
Probably. I mean, this was like he was coaching for either this job, like they either have success this year or they were going to go separate ways. He did lead Houston to the playoffs in each of his four seasons there, including one trip to the Western Conference Finals. And the Rockets also had the highest winning percentage in the West over the last 4 years. He is considered a candidate for the 76ers job. I don't know. I think the Rockets are a very fun regular season team.
Yeah, great.
And that's about it.
How about tip of the cap to Denver? Instead of bellyaching about the Clippers, how about a tip of the cap to Miami and Denver as great bubble stories with a bunch of kids who are in the conference finals? Sometimes, You know, let's not just say Milwaukee stinks. Miami played great. The Clippers don't stink. Denver's playing their arse off. Like, some of this in the NBA, the bubble is psychology. It looks like Houston, Joy, melted down.
But they always melt down.
I know.
So that's kind of my issue with it. Yes, I think the bubble has a lot of psychological challenges that people are disregarding. It's hard to be away from your family. It's hard to be in a bubble for months at a time with really no escape other than, you know, there's only so many times you can go fishing and golfing before it's like, hey, you know, I'd like to go sleep in my own bed.
Right.
This Houston team vastly underachieved again, and some major changes have to be made.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, coming up next, Aaron Rodgers was great. But can I just say this about the Packers? Of course I can. That's coming up next. When it comes to reaching my health goals, it's about changing mindset and habits. It's all about Noom, Noom.com/herd. Get started today with a free trial. Go to Noom.com/herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
MDriveForMen.com. Boost and burn. It's very good. Check out MDriveForMen.com. Don't let age beat you. All right, so this drove me. This was the play yesterday that drove me crazy. And it was actually two very average teams but wildly entertaining. Raiders played Carolina. And so Carolina gets the ball back, and they trail, and Bridgewater played well. And, you know, it was a really fun NFL game. We've said this about the NFL. Teams don't have to be great for the game to be great. And the game was really fun if you're a Raider fan. They've got a bunch of good offensive weapons. Defense is not very good. In Carolina, the defense got confused. It's not very good. It's young. But their offense is pretty good. So my theory on football is real simple. When you get into key moments in a football game, just give it to your best players. That's always been my rule. They got you here. They got you here. So now we know with Carolina, their best football player is Christian McCaffrey. They've got good receivers, and I think Teddy Bridgewater is more than capable. And they get into this situation where they get into a fourth and, like, you know, a foot and a half or whatever, fourth and half a yard or whatever. And instead of McCaffrey, who just makes guys miss, I mean, McCaffrey never feels like he never loses yardage. He just makes guys miss. He's one of the great players, top five player, top 10 player in the NFL. So Matt Rhule's the rookie coach, and they're going to steal a game they were supposed to lose, and the Raiders should win this because they're in year three with Gruden, and this should be the game, and this is the play they run, this nonsense. It is a fullback dive. The hell is that? You jam up in them. You gave the Raiders, who are not very good on the outside, they're not very good. So get the ball, do something. That's it. A quick, you got it. Just let Teddy Bridgewater do a quarterback dive. He's better. You have Christian McCaffrey. Do you need to be reintroduced to the best player in your franchise? What are you doing? Yeah, I lost some money on it, but beyond that, God, like it, he's an MVP. This is not a great defense. You do not give it to a fullback. I watched that game and I'm like, if I'm a player and that play comes in, that's where I defend like a quarterback rolling his eyes going, I got the best running back in the league back here. It's the most predictable thing. Just let's just shrink our offense down to that. Ugh. So you deserve to lose. Congrats to the Raiders. Here's my second thing. I always hear this. It is a quarterback's job to elevate the pieces you have. You're not always going to get the best offensive coach. You're not always going to get a great offensive line. I keep hearing this. I've watched Russell Wilson in Seattle with bad O-lines and rookie receivers and undrafted tight ends and seventh-round running backs. God, he just elevate. They're all good. If I got to hear that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have enough weapons again, I don't want to hear it. I watched them yesterday. You're good enough to drop 44 in the Vikings. Your weapons are fine. Davante Adams is a top three receiver in the NFL. He's a beast. You can't cover him. Davante Adams is a superstar wide receiver. You have a top four offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus. Aaron Jones is a top five or six running back. You have multiple receivers who can play. Valdez Scantling is one of the fastest guys in the league. He drops him occasionally, but he's super fast. Lazard is more than good enough as a number three wide receiver. If in the NFL, if you have a top five O-line, a superstar receiver, a star back, That's enough. Now, they do a lot of 11 personnel. They do one tight end. They do not throw to the tight end much. They didn't throw to Jimmy Graham much. So that's just their offense. Aaron doesn't throw to the tight end a lot. That's just how Aaron is. But, like, if you can drop 44, like, I'm overhearing about how Green Bay doesn't have enough weapons. You start looking at where Russell Wilson's weapons come from, they're not good. They're undrafted tight ends. They're gadget guys in college. Doug Baldwin was undrafted. DK Metcalf dropped in the draft. He's great with Russell. It's a quarterback's job to elevate the weapons. Occasionally in your career, I mean, Tom Brady played 20 years in New England. He had 2 years where he had everything. He had Welker. He had a slot guy. Then he had Randy Moss. Then he had Dante Stallworth. And then he started getting good tight ends, Gronk and Hernandez. Tom, in 20 years, had about a 2 or 3 year window where he really had everything. Protection, a deep threat, a slot guy, solid backs. That's not the way it works. Like, I got news for you. Patrick Mahomes, in 20 years, is going to have years without a functional tight end, and his top two receivers are hurt. It's your job as a quarterback. I don't want to hear Green Bay didn't have weapons. They're not Kansas City. They're good enough. You give me a top five O-line on a star receiver, star back. Now it's up to me to elevate the guys who are B and C players. Hour 3, the great Jimmy Johnson, head coach, joining us next.